As you can see, it's time. Time for what? It's time to take a nap. Time to eat. Time to go to work. Time for a lot of things. But really, what it is truly, truly time for is to come alive. There are a lot of dry bones in the church today. I'm speaking about the whole body of Christ, the whole church of God. There's a lot of dry bones that need to come alive. The Lord is coming back soon. We don't know when, but we see the signs. We see the beginning of these signs that Jesus talked about and other scriptures talked about. That he's coming back soon. Still could be years, may very well be. But still could very well be within our lifetime. Lawlessness is just out of control. And so many other things. And that's one of the beginnings. So many things going on in the world. It's time that the church wakes up and that the church gets ready. We're told in Scripture, Jesus himself said, be ready. You don't know when I'm coming back. And it's going to be a time when you don't expect. Well, we see some of the signs, but we still don't know exactly when. We might think, well, it's still far enough in the future that I don't need to worry about it. I probably won't be here, whatever. A lot of people probably think that way. But we don't know when he's coming back. So it's time. Time for the dry bones to come alive. Time for us to wake up and be who the Lord wants us to be, where he wants us to be, and doing what he wants us to do. And I have some scriptures that relate to this in a way. The first one from John chapter 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How many of you feel that you have that abundant life right now? We go through so many things. We get discouraged about things. We look around at all the things happening in the world. And sometimes we feel despair. We feel discouragement. Things are going crazy. The world is upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil. Evil is good. We see that. People talk about it. I mean, they don't say it in those words, but the things that we consider evil, they're saying are good. It's such a shame. But what does he mean by the abundant life? That's why one of the reasons why he came. Does it mean you have more things? Does it mean you have more money? Does it mean you have a better house? Could include some of that. Some of the people in the Bible were very rich. Abraham was very rich. There's nothing wrong with that. But that wasn't Abraham's focus. God was his focus. I think the abundant life is more about having the joy of the Lord. No matter where you are and what you're doing, you've got the joy of the Lord. Scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Also means having his peace that passes all understanding. No matter what's going on around you, you're not panicky, you're not fearful. You have the peace of God because you know who God is and how much he loves you and will take care of you. That's part of it. Having joy, having peace, having the sense of his presence in your life. I think that's more of what the abundant life is. And I think we see some of that in Joan. Yeah, she's in the hospital with a heart condition, and she's having a ball. Because she has the joy of the Lord, and she has his peace, and she knows who he is. So those things don't bother her. She's about her father's business. And that's the way we should be. Not that we need to be like her, but we need to have that same kind of attitude, so to speak. That same kind of character, that same presence of God in our lives that gives us that kind of joy, just allowing the Lord to give us these things. And instead of focusing on what's going on in the world, just always looking on the bright side. Yeah, bad things happen. Bad things almost happen to you. But you're here to talk about it, aren't you? You're here with joy because the Lord did something for you. And He'll do something for everybody. But we need to be looking at Him and paying attention to Him. He wants us to have that abundant life. That's one of the things that needs to change in the church. It's not an, oh, woe is me, and oh, it's terrible. Look what's going on in the world. And you know, we feel distressed and distraught and negative about things. Hey, we should all be joyful. Lord, you're coming back soon. All this is going to be over. We're going to be with you. No more pain, sorrow, nothing. Just good things. We should be joyful for that, if for no other reason. But there's more to it. I mean, that's one of the things that needs to change in our lives. Romans 13. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Too many people in the church are sleeping. Too many people in the world are asleep. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what these signs mean. They ignore them. They're just so busy with their own lives and just getting by. They don't pay attention to what's going on. They don't pay attention to what the politicians are doing. They don't pay attention to what anybody's doing, but just trying to get by and be happy. But they don't understand where true happiness lies. It's time to wake up. Definitely for the world, but even more so for the church, because supposedly we know these things. But I think we've forgotten a lot. It's time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That doesn't mean salvation being born again. That means salvation, Jesus coming to take us out, saving us from this world that we live in. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. There are still some works of darkness within the church. We've allowed too much of the world to come into the church. Too much of the world's attitudes, too much of the world's ways of doing things. There's also other things going on in the church. Some people harbor bitterness. Some people hate. Some people judge others based on what they look like or where they come from or the way they talk or the way they behave. Do we look down on people like that? None of us are pure or perfect. But it's time that we recognize the things that plague us, to cast them off, say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to not be this way. Help me to not judge. Help me to not hold bitterness or hatred or envy or any of these things in my heart. Help me to not do some of the things that I find myself doing. I mean, Paul struggled with that. He said, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I can't seem to do. For such a great man as him, he still struggled with that too. So none of us are immune to that. But he still looked to God. He said, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. He's forgiven and saved from all those things. But still, we need to strive, not in our own strength, but in God's power, His strength, His wisdom, to follow Him and to be able to cast off these things, to put on the armor of light. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. That's the armor of light. All these things that will help protect us. And I could go through them all, but that would be for another time. Needless to say, though, there is the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts that the devil throws at us. There's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we can speak against these things and fight against the works of the enemy. Think about that for a moment, though. How did God create all this? He spoke it into existence. Words. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and there was. And God said this and that. Everything came into being. He still speaks today. He says His word will not return void, but it will accomplish the thing for which He has sent it. We have the privilege of speaking the Word of God. Whether it's speaking the Scriptures and speaking them out loud, or whether it's God using us, like with Joan in the hospital, to speak words of life to someone else. Whether it's an unbeliever and they can come to eternal life, or whether it's to a fellow believer to offer encouragement or wisdom. Wisdom. Strength, you know, wise counsel. God has chosen us to be able to speak His word. And when we speak His word, things happen. Things happen. So we need to be open. And we need to open our mouth and be willing to just say, okay, Lord, You fill it. Just like He told the disciples. Don't worry about what you're going to speak to somebody when you call to account or when you're criticized for what you're doing. I'll give you what you want to say, or what you need to say, rather, at the very moment you need it. That's when I'll give it to you. So don't worry about preparing ahead of time. And that's the way we need to look at things. Lord, You'll give me the words. I just need to open my mouth. So that was, okay, next. And from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. That's another thing it's time for. It's time for the church at large to embrace the Holy Spirit and His gifts. Too many people are afraid of things like that. Oh, it's spooky. Or for other reasons, oh, this is not for today, that was just for back then. No, it is for today. It definitely is. It's funny because some Christians will talk about all the miracles in the Bible. Oh, I wish I was there to see this. Boy, that would have been something. And we talk about some of the, well, like the parting of the Red Sea, for example. Gee, I wish I was there to see that, or the crossing of the Jordan. or the fall of Jericho, or Jesus raising the dead. So many things. We could all wish that we were there to see them. We talk about these miracles, and we talk about some relatively speaking anyway, minor miracles that God does in the lives of people. We share them here. We consider them miracles, right? That was a miracle, right? You're missing the big crash. We long to see miracles. We talk about miracles, but aren't these things miracles? Healings? Words of wisdom, prophecy. Aren't they related to miracles? The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives in us and did those things back then, is the same Spirit spoken of here. How is it that we can talk about miracles and long to see them and everything, but yet we shy away from the gifts of the Spirit, which relate to some of the very miracles that we wish we could see? I've never quite understood that. I think it's just a deception of the devil, because he knows the power that is at work by the Holy Spirit. He knows that if the church embraces the Holy Spirit and his gifts, he's doomed. Just think, you're at a point where you need to understand something. You're at a point where I don't know what to do. And somebody through the Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom that suddenly opens things up to you. Ah, I understand. Now I know what to do. Or you're sick and somebody lays hands on you, and through the power of the Holy Spirit there's a healing. I mean, I've heard of these things where people were instantaneously healed. I mean, I haven't seen it personally myself. I've heard of somebody with a shortened leg or something, suddenly it grows to the right length. If God created us in the first place, he can certainly fix us, can he? Why not? If God is really who we say he is, who we talk about him as being, that he does things like this and created this universe, he can certainly do things that are spoken of here. He can certainly heal our bodies. He can certainly do a lot of other things. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit that's relating to the performing of miracles. I can't do a miracle on my own. But there are times when God gives you the faith to do something like that. Think about some of the biblical stories. Even David. He's a young kid. The battle-hardened soldiers were afraid of Goliath. But the Spirit of God speaks to David and he says, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? And David's only a teenager. And he goes out with a sling and a stone. Right? That's a gift of faith. Read some of the other biblical stories or any of the ones that come to mind. Right? I think Jesus gave Peter the gift of faith to come out and walk on the water. Peter accepted it, but then he started doubting. And that was that. But it's time. It's time for all these things. It's time to lead the abundant life. Okay? It's time to put away whatever comes between us and God. Okay? Could be something insignificant. I'm not talking about big sins like murder and, you know, child molesting or who the heck knows what. The little things. gossip, envy, judging people because of the way they look. It's time to put away that stuff. It's time to let the light in and let the light truly shine in our hearts and cause us to come aglow that others see Jesus. To put on the armor of light. And it's time to embrace the works of the Holy Spirit, His gifts. I'm speaking about the whole church, but some of that, at least some of that, applies here. Does God look at us and say, oh, they're too small a congregation or too few people to do anything mighty? No. He typically chooses people like that. I mean, he chose Gideon, who was so fearful, he was hiding what he was doing in the wine press so the Midianites wouldn't see him and steal his stuff. And God sends an angel and calls him a mighty warrior, man of valor. And he looks around, who, me? But that's who God chose. I believe God chose this congregation in this little insignificant town of Walworth for something meaningful, for something that's going to help build the kingdom of God in this area. And all we need to do are those things that I talked about. Be open to the work of God in our lives and in this church. It involves change. It involves an openness. It involves desire. Is that what we really want? Each of us needs to make that decision. Is that what I want here? Is that what you want here? Is that what God wants here? And if all the answers to that are yes, it'll happen. As we're open and as we're willing to be led of His Spirit to new heights, to soar like eagles. I don't know what that's like, but I'm anxious to find out. So it's time. Now is the time, because Jesus is coming back soon, and that's part of being ready for Him. There's going to be a great awakening, a great revival, before He physically sets foot on the earth again. Because there are still many, many, many people yet to be saved. And He's going to make sure that every single one that can be saved will be. And do we want to be part of that? There's a lot of people in Walworth that need to be saved. I don't know what it means, what He would want us to do. Doesn't matter. That's up to Him. But by His Spirit, He will do it. By His Spirit, He will empower us. He will give us what is necessary. He will give us the will, the ability, the skills, the desire, the boldness to do it. We may look and say, well, gee, I don't really have that kind of boldness like Joan does. That's a gift from God. If He gave it to her, He can give it to any one of us. Praise God. Wonderful days are coming. Trying days are coming too, but when evil exalts its ugly head, God's Spirit does even more to bring more light, more love, more grace. And that's what we'll see in the days ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You love us so much and that You have chosen us for a particular work here in this town, in this church, right here, Lord. Help us to not be fearful, to not be worried or unnerved by anything, but rather to embrace you even more, Lord, and the things that you desire. Help us to see the truth of what your word says, and to be willing to be your instruments of glory. Thank you so much, Lord. We are yours. We're the clay. You're the potter. Mold us and shape us into what you want us to be. Prepare us, Lord, for the coming days, knowing that they are glorious and that you will be with us every step of the way. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.